This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to Rams Talk Podcast. Apologies about that. You may see in the comments that Jake likened my Wi-Fi to Martin Waghorn. And I can say it probably would have finished that chance yesterday, in all fairness. But yeah, not having the best of days, not having the best of weekends on my side. But well, opportunity knocked yesterday, didn't it? But Derby didn't answer. We were hoping for all the points and 7-point gap to third, but we left Northampton with no points. We left learning that Craig Forsyth and potentially Mendes Lang will be out for the rest of the season. So it's been a disastrous 24 hours. Joining me to talk it through, I've got three of the normal chaps, and we've got a host as a guest sitting in the middle there, Jake. Are you hoping that you're not going to be seen there?
Yeah, I'm just hiding, mate. I'm not meant to be here. I'm like a supply teacher today. Adam's dropped out and I've been roped in. I'm driven back from Wales this afternoon and here I am talking about Derby again. Can't get away.
Well, I'll go easy on you. Also joined by Callum Bucock. How are you doing, Cal?
I was having a decent Sunday. It reminded me of yesterday's performance. But yeah, I'm all good, mate. I'm all good.
Good stuff. And the always reliable, undeniable Vic Singh. How are you doing?
Good evening, chaps. Yeah, not too bad. Like I said, the chance missed, but it's not the end of the world, is it?
It's not, no. And we've got a few more games to get it right, and we're still very much in the mix. So we'll start off with you, Cal. Obviously, we saw the team. It was released at 2 p.m. If you're like me, you're refreshing Twitter constantly or X constantly, trying to work out, you know, what the formation is, what team we've gone with. There was obviously a bit of speculation because it wasn't going to be an unchanged team because we've obviously had some injuries in the camp. Were you surprised to see that lineup? How did you feel looking at that team that was announced?
I think it's going to be a weird one because of obviously the forward line injuries that we had. So and then obviously with the was it Bradley and obviously Forsyth between the two of them, who was actually fit and who was ill and who was not. So again, from what I saw, it was probably what I would probably have. Bar maybe one or two changes just for me personally. I would have probably played like Elder from the start, but rather than Sibley, because of the impact he did obviously against Bolton. But again, yeah, I would have gone with exactly what Paul Warren did in terms of the formation. It's obviously got a couple of positive results, so you wouldn't probably deviate from that. Unfortunately, because of the injuries that we've been dealt, he will probably have to deviate from that going into Blackpool. So yeah, it's not great. But from 2 p.m. onwards, I was still hoping that team and that side were going to put a performance in, but I was wrong.
Yeah, and I said there about having injuries in the squad, but you looked at that team, Jake, and there's enough there to be able to go to, and this is no disrespect to Northampton, but there's enough quality there to go and cause Northampton problems, surely.
On paper, you'd think so. I mean, you know, Martin Waghorn, he was a championship striker until this season. You know, he should really be banging in the goals left, right and centre. And obviously, we've seen in recent weeks maybe he hasn't quite got that in him anymore. But, you know, obviously with Mendes Lang, we've got the quality of Kane Wilson. We talked a lot about that Northampton left-hand side, which ironically is where their goal came from. But we talked about that Northampton left-hand side and its weaknesses. And we had so much quality on the pitch that could have put it away. Obviously, missing the likes of Tom Barkays, it's massive. He's been brilliant in this run. And you know, missing players like that does make a huge impact. But yeah, like you say, you look at the team that we had more than enough quality to beat a team that hadn't won in a month. You know, we'd won four in a row. You'd expect us to go there full of confidence. And I think first sort of 10, 15 minutes, we maybe looked wobbly. We regained that confidence. It went away. And yeah, you just expect more, don't you? It is really disappointing to see, but it happens. It's football. Just how it is.
Yeah, you say there about taking 10, 15 minutes to get going. That seems to be the case in every game this season for me, that we almost have to take 10 or 15 minutes to suss out the opposition. Vic, do you think that's a tactic of Paul Warne's, or is that just the way that this Derby team have played all season?
I'd probably say it's just the way we play. I couldn't imagine it being a tactic. I think if Paul Warne really wants to implement this style, it's like gung-ho from the get-go. So you expect us to sort of be on the front foot all the time. I just think maybe just the players are a bit slow to react. I guess the change of formations and everything, the change of personnel, it's probably sort of difficult to always get used to if we don't have a settled 11 week in, week out. So I'm guessing it's probably just a Derby thing with us at the minute. I mean, it's a shame that it happened again yesterday, but we seem to pull it out of the bag as the game goes on. Yesterday just wasn't our day. It was just a bad day at the office for us. I think 9 out of maybe 11 players had a bad day. And unfortunately, Northampton got the smash and grab and took the points.
Our first chance fell to Martin Waghorn, Callum. I mean, it's pinged across the box, isn't it? It's pinged with pace. It's found its way to Louis Sibley. Has he gone for goal? I don't know. But it's found its way to Martin Waghorn. He's unmarked. A striker of his quality, of his experience from, 3 yards out? Surely you should be finding the net there.
Yeah, I was hoping you're going to ask Jake this because Jake's got a great opinion on this tape. But yeah, no, yes, it's fired at him at pace, but and obviously you could people. I mean, I saw on Twitter someone say, "Oh, the pitch was bobbly and he bobbled," and I was like, "No." I was like, come on, get your head over it and at least put it on target. If the keeper saves it, the keeper saves it. But to put it over the bar, again, it just spelled what an afternoon it probably was going to turn out to be, and obviously it did. And as you and Jake were saying, Waghorn is probably not the prolific striker we once knew. We probably knew that when we signed him after a testimonial. And it was one of those where you just want someone of prowess to be able to put it in the net, and Waghorn was not that person, unfortunately. You needed, if a Gale was on the end of that, you'd probably put your hat on it. So yeah, it was just one of them things, unfortunately. It was very frustrating, but you just got to move on. And what I do like about him, though, is that he doesn't let things get to him. He just what goes up. He did the same thing when he missed the one. But he did the same thing against Bristol, though. He missed the one, but then he put the other one in, obviously, to score there. So I back him to obviously bounce back. It's just whether Paul Warne picks him again.
And obviously, he's found himself in positions since he's returned from injury, Jake. He's found himself in positions to score goals. Are we to take some positives from that he's getting himself into good positions?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've got to take positives from the team creating the chances. I mean, obviously, I'm sure we'll get onto the Ibu Adams chances as well. He had two really good opportunities to put the ball in the back of the net, and we did create opportunities. It's just we didn't take them. I mean, Waghorn, I'm just looking here. Last four games, he's had three opportunities that have been near identical. Bristol Rovers, ball comes across, blazes it over the bar. I think, was it, which game was it? It might have been Reading or Bolton. I can't remember which one. Ball comes across and he puts it straight at the keeper from about 4 yards. And then obviously yesterday, he skies it from 4 or 5 yards. You know, again, I mean, Callum mentioned him being prolific. I remember in his first stint at Derby, his big problem was he couldn't put chances away. This is a rogue stat, but I think he had something like 20 XG and 12 goals in that Cocu season, which is, you know, that's ridiculous. That is a really poor return. for the amount of chances he gets. Obviously, his movement's good. His movement's good. He might have lost that yard of pace, but he does get into the right positions. But you've got to put these chances away. And if you don't put these chances away, you shouldn't be on the pitch. And that's the way I see it. If you're a striker and you're not creating and you can't put the ball in the back of the net, you've got to give others a chance. You know, we looked at Corey Blackett-Taylor. He was sat on the bench. I thought he did well when he came on. Could he bring something to this team? Could someone else bring something to this team? I know we've got about 100 players out injured at the minute. But again, it does make you wonder. He's coming into the team. He's missing chance after chance after chance. And it is really frustrating. So, yeah, as you said, we signed him because of a testimonial. He wasn't a player Warren was after. He had a really, really good run early in the season, which I think surprised everyone because, again, he was poor in front of goal. And all of a sudden, he's great in front of goal. And he seems to have lost it again. And yeah, it's just really, really frustrating, isn't it? Because, like I said, he's played at a higher level. He's come into the team. You know, James Collins, again, much maligned. He'd have put one of them away. So, yeah, you've just got to hope that he can turn it around. Just got to hope he can, like Callum says, pick himself up and bring it on. But it is just a concern going into future games when we've talked about firepower in recent weeks. If he can't put chances like that away, you know, what chance have we got?
Well, he normally comes alive on the last game of the season. So hopefully that'll be the way again. Vic, obviously Jake mentioned Ebu Adams there. Again, some glorious opportunities. I feel sorry for Ebu Adams because every shot he seems to take, someone makes a really, really good block. But with that in mind, I mean, the opportunity that he did have, Kane Wilson down the right-hand side, stands a beautiful ball up. He's got the goal at his mercy. I think if he just heads it down in either direction, the goalkeeper, he wheels away. It's 1-1. He got it all wrong. It almost, because he got it so wrong, it almost caught the goalkeeper out and almost looped over him, which was quite funny to see. But how many more chances is Ebu Adams going to need before he breaks his duck?
When I look at Ebu Adams, I don't look at him as a goal scorer, so he could probably shoot all night and not score, and I'd still be happy with his performance. But I don't know, he was just unlucky yesterday. Like I said before, I think yesterday was just one of those days at the office where if on another day those chances go in, we win the game 2-3-0. It was just one of them days for us. Ebu Adams will probably get his goal because his movement off the ball is pretty decent as well, considering he's one of them sort of break-up midfielders, breaks up the playing, just spreads it out. He'll get it eventually, but it's getting to that crunch time of the season now where we've got 6 games left and it's really hard to sort of have any passions in the team. And we're talking about Waghorn as well. I mean, if he's not scoring these chances and the games are literally flying by now, if we're not putting them away, then we're sort of losing grasp on that second spot. And then obviously you'll have Bolton and Peterborough, Barnsley lurking. So we've got to start putting these chances away. Yesterday, just a bad day at the office. We're going to have to write it off, pick ourselves up for Blackpool on Friday. But yeah, hopefully Ebu Adams gets his goal because he deserves it. He's worked hard. He's been really impressive since he's come into the side. So long may his good form continue. Hopefully he gets that good goal at the end of it.
You've got it in there nice and early, Vic. I'm always worried when we lose that you're not going to say long may it continue, but you still seem to
I'll always find a way.
Which is brilliant. Well, he's either going to get a red card or a goal before the end of the season. That's my prediction. So let's see what people are saying on YouTube and also our next Jim Johnson, ever reliable Jim Johnson. Washington next game, or possibly Colo on the bench. Warren said that Colo may be back for Blackpool, so let's see what happens there. David Jones has said, wouldn't exactly have called it a smash and grab. I thought the Cobblers deserved that victory. They bullied Derby and didn't allow them to play. Yeah, tend to agree. Jim Johnson also says, time for CBT. I think he may well get his opportunity against Blackpool.
No one else left.
Yeah. They haven't got a choice.
It's either CBT or JB, Jake Barker, I think, on that.
Yeah. I'm injured as well, mate. Fit right in.
But, Cal, I'm going to talk to you now about their goal. So, I want to say it's a really well-taken goal. It was a really good finish by Hoskins. But it was a foul on Kane Wilson, wasn't it? I think it's clear to see that their left back, it was a clear body check. Now, it's one of them that potentially in certain areas of the pitch, it doesn't get given. Maybe Kane Wilson goes down a little bit too easily. I'm not too sure. But it definitely was a foul, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's one of them. Yeah. League One. Unfortunately, we're not with graced with VAR. I mean, VAR probably would have missed it anyway. But when you looked at obviously the passage of play from our perspective, Kane Wilson is fouled. I think that from everyone who was there and anyone who was watching the game or seen a replay would have seen it. But obviously, unfortunately, officials haven't seen it. But you still got to deal with the next phase of play, which was letting a cross come in. Into deep, and we seem to do that quite a lot. We don't really close down crosses quite a lot. We seem to just let it and hopefully allow our central defenders to win their ball in the box. But obviously, one of those times you're going to get caught out, and it was a great finish, to be fair to the player, and it was probably well deserved at that point in that passage of the play. Northampton was getting on top. They were starting to just build a little bit of momentum. The fans were getting a little bit on their sides. And it was really then a sucker punch to us, because then it meant they had to pick ourselves back up and try and get back into it, which meant that we just had to kind of ride out that last next few minutes because we were on the ropes a little bit. Fair play to them. At the end of the day, we're not really a goal conceding team. We've got the best offensive, or one of the best offensive records in the league. So you've just got to put it onto a good finish from them, and just poor defending from us in that moment.
And we were so good defensively against Bolton, Jake. I mean, there's a couple of errors there. I think Bradley has the opportunity to put a foot in. Can he give away a foul in that area? Possibly. He may have been booked. He got booked in the end, didn't he? So it wouldn't have really mattered. But yeah, defensively, it was poor, wasn't it?
It's just a different game. I think that's the way I see it. I mean, you look at the Bolton game, we kept our shape really, really well. And I don't think there was ever a time really where one of the three centre-backs was not in position. Wilson had the ball and Nelson had made an option for him in the middle, and it just left the two other centre-backs isolated. I genuinely don't know how no one else got back in time. I don't know why it was only Aaron Cash in there, but yeah. I think we were just trying to play more expansively and try and take the game to Northampton, whereas against Bolton, we were a lot more rigid. We sat in position. We did what the Twitter tacticos call a low block, and just tried to hold them out, whereas... Like I said, against Northampton, we sort of went in all guns blazing at that point. We were growing in confidence. We'd had some really good chances. And we thought, you know, we can step up. We can, you know, take another yard. And I mean, talk about the defending, Sonny Bradley. I have no idea how he got skinned that easily. It was, I mean, it wasn't the only embarrassing thing he did that game. But a player that's right-footed and usually only uses their right foot, cuts onto his right foot, and Bradley's sent into a different universe. And he puts the ball across, and poor Cashin's on his own trying to cover the entire expanse of the pitch. There are another two Northampton players making their way into the box. So he couldn't commit to one. He had to stay in the middle, which, you know, makes it really difficult for him. So it was just a bit of a shambles. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was an unbelievable finish. And I think, you know, 9 times out of 10, a striker wouldn't take that finish. But he did, and he took it really, really well. So there's not a lot you can do about it. But yeah, we said it was a foul. It was clearly a foul. There's no reason for Wilson to go down in that position. But we've got to do better. We can't just let teams run through us. We can't just rest on our laurels when we think we've been hard done by. We have to keep fighting. We're at the end of a season, so we need to show why we're in this position.
And it was more of the same until half-time, Vic. No real chance. Obviously, we had the Ibu Adams chance shortly after they scored. But it then kind of dwindled out until half-time. At half-time, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Paul Warne made 4 changes by the 46th minute last week against Bolton. He's definitely going to do something at half-time, isn't he? He's definitely going to do something. And he didn't. Were you surprised?
No, because he's normally that sort of manager that makes his subs at 60 minutes, didn't he? I think Bolton was one of them just off-chance things, I think, where he just decided to change it half-time. He should have, because, being honest, we lacked a lot of fight and passion for me, especially in that first half. Okay, yeah, we had chances, but if you think about the way we've been playing the last few games, the last few weeks, we chase every ball down, we fight for everything. To me, it wasn't there yesterday. I thought that we were very second best to everything. I thought Northampton wanted it more. We actually, in my opinion, we looked knackered. And I thought that was a worrying sign for me. If he didn't change that at half-time and waited till 60-odd minutes, to me, that rings alarm bells, because especially when we're in that business end where we're playing Tuesday, Friday, and then we're back, you know, so that sort of schedule's coming back again. So for me, we should have made the changes a bit earlier. Maybe we could have got the Joe Ward and CBT on, and maybe they could have made an impact, could have maybe changed the game. But like I said, I'm not surprised that Warren left it to 60 minutes, because that's normally his sort of philosophy. But hopefully we can start seeing something different going forward, because we're in the business end now. We've got no room for error.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, yeah, to back what you say there, we did look jaded. We did look quite tired. I think especially in the middle of the park. I mean, we've talked all season on this podcast about the balance and how at times that midfield just hasn't been at the races, Callum. I think it was another game looking at it and thinking we were off it. I know that you spoke about Conor Hourihan in our chat on our WhatsApp group. What was your personal thoughts on that midfield and Hourihan personally?
I just think for me, when a game is scrappy that it was, and it's really much down to who wants it more, who wants to win the battles, etc., I do think Conor Hourihan does struggle. Because he can't dictate the play. I mean, the ball is always bouncing. It's always up in the air. He's got to try and win a header. There's two or three times he got lost to a second ball or a 50-50 challenge, and he kind of backs out. But that's not his game. But I do think that's where he gets found out. And Northampton just made it ugly, really, really ugly on the eye. But at the end of the day, that's what they needed to do to get the result, and they did. So I think that when you look at the central midfield that we had, Ibu Adams, Conor Hourihan, Thompson, you've got Thompson for the energy, you've got Ibu Adams to try and win the ball back, and you've got Conor Hourihan to try and dictate the play. But I think yesterday, I think you needed three Ibu Adams kind of just getting to match them, because that's all they did. And they did it really, really effectively. I think that maybe Conor Hourihan should come out the side for Friday, but with the squad that we've got and the injuries we've got, I don't know who you put in.
And we talk about experience, Jake. We talk about having experience to get us over the line. We're now looking at Sonny Bradley being out for three matches. We're now looking at Craig Forsyth probably being out all season. Is there an argument to say that you need some experience within that team that's been there, done it, that can rally the troops? Because if you take Hourihan out, I think we're all agreed that potentially Hourihan doesn't get into our three. I mean, you might disagree with that, but I think we talked about that previously, and Hourihan probably wouldn't be in there. But with those missing, like Forsyth, like Sonny Bradley, do you need that experience?
I think so, but I mean, looking at our team, the only player we can bring in is Corey Smith, who's 33. So it's sort of like it's experience for experience. But yeah, I mean, you need your experience at this point in the season. We've seen it. That Bolton game was, a huge sign of it. We used our experience. It hurt Bolton fans so much. You take one glance at our comments right now, they're still livid about it a week later. You know, it was a massive, massive win for us, and we used every ounce of the experience we have. The problem is that your experience is supposed to be relied upon, and Sonny Bradley was not reliable. And I think at times Conor Hourihan's not been reliable either. You know, Callum made a comment there about fight. I don't think Hourihan doesn't want it. I just don't think he's up for a physical battle. It's not his game. It never has been his game. And I think, like you said, in games like yesterday, he does get found out when teams are pressing him really high. The things that he was probably doing in the past, where he'd sort of nick it round a corner or play a little reverse pass in, you know, straight off a ball from the wing, he can't do that now. And it takes him an extra second. And because of that, I think that's where he really suffers, because in his head, he can do it. But on the pitch, he can't do it. And then he gets more and more wound up, and fans start getting on his back. And I'll be honest, I think the criticism of him has been really harsh. Somehow, I've seen him get more criticism than Sonny Bradley, who literally headbutted someone and got a straight red, which I think is ridiculous. I think Derby fans need a scapegoat sometimes. And even though Hourihan hasn't been at his best for a lot of the season, I think sometimes he's always the one that's picked out. Even when we win, sometimes we'll win and people will pick him out, which is a bit silly. But yeah, I think to go back to your actual question, Jamie, I think experience is necessary, but we've got enough experienced players in this team to get over the line. We can bring a couple of young lads in. I don't know who those young lads would be because I don't think we have any. But, you know, we've got the space to bring them in. I mean, just looking at our bench, I mean, Ben Radcliffe is the only other outfield sub that we had. I think our bench is going to be not great on Friday. But yeah, we'll see, mate. We'll have to see.
Yeah, and Vic, I'm coming to you with a bit of a dilemma. I've just thought about it in my head, and it might not even make sense because I'm not really with it after yesterday. I'm not going to lie. But I think the only player that comes out with any credit yesterday is Kane Wilson. I think he kept going. He was positive. He was bright. I think he built upon the goal that he scored against Bolton. Now, obviously, we're probably going to have to go back to a four, which obviously then means that we've got to play him right back, or have you got to play him right wing? How does he fit in if we go to a four? Does he come in as a right back? And Joe, where does Joe Ward fit in as well? What's your thoughts on a four for Blackpool?
Well, I think our hands are tied at the minute. I think we're going to have to play a back four. I think Kane Wilson would be fine at right back, and then if you got Joe Ward ahead of him, I think we'll be fine. They can always switch their positions between the two. So say, for example, if Kane Wilson does decide to move more advanced, Joe Ward can slip in if we need to, or you've always got the overlap option. I think the two of them will work really well together. So I'm guessing that that'll probably be the option going forward. Like you said, Kane Wilson was probably the only bright spark in what was a pretty drab display yesterday. So hopefully he can continue his good form. But I wouldn't have an issue with him and Ward both playing on Friday, especially if Mendes Lang is out now for minimum one, but potentially the rest of the season. It's probably something we're going to have to explore. So I have no issue with Kane Wilson playing right back and Joe Ward playing ahead of him, because they can always interchange between the two. They both played that right wing back position, so I'm sure they'll start him. But I think a back four is probably the way forward now. Especially with only two fit centre-halves. The other question is, do we drop Sibley and put Callum Elder at left-back? For me, I probably would.
Yes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp. As a podcast listener, you've heard from us before. Today, let's hear from our members about what online therapy has done for them.
I would recommend my therapist 1,000 times over. She has truly changed my life.
The day after my first session, my friends and family said I sounded like myself again for the first time in weeks.
You deserve to invest in your well-being. Visit BetterHelp.com to see what it can do for you. That's BetterHelp.com.
We've been tempting the Bradley chat, but I'm going to stave it off for just a few more moments. I'm going to let the tension build. There's a few comments in the chat. Peter Thathers says Bradley just fancied the Easter weekend off. To be fair to him, maybe. It's like Neymar around his sister's birthday. He wanted to get red carded, something like that. But Cal, I know that Jake's got some interesting details on injuries, so I'm going to come to him. Neck, have you, Jake? You're looking like,
yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, he's got some interesting facts. But I just want to ask you right now, if you could have one of the players that's injured for the next three at their best, who would it be?
You better not get this wrong, because you know who it is.
Why? Go on. Go on.
Mendes Lang. Come on.
I think it depends on the formation. I think Mendes Lang's bit in the two up top. I wouldn't, because I think he's wasted in the two up top. If you're going 4-2-3-1 and go and put him out wide where he should be, then yeah, 1,000%.
And if you're playing the 5-3-2,
I would. Yeah, nah. Yeah, no, I'm probably still sticking with Mendes.
He's crumbled.
I was thinking about the other two, and I was just going, no, I probably still would have Mendes Lang. But no, he needs to be playing out wide. I'm pointing it out there, though. He needs to be playing out wide.
I agree. Yeah, and potentially he's been feeling this hamstring. We don't know, but I don't think he's been his best over the last few, for sure. Doing the preview pod with Northampton, you know, that you could tell that they were scared. And I think a lot of people in this division are scared of Mendes Lang, and rightly so, because when he's on song, he is brilliant. I just think over the last few, especially playing in that position, he's just not been his normal self. So he's hoping we can see him before the end of the season, because he'll be vital for the running. We might see him for the playoff campaign. You never really know. But Jake, have you got that information on injuries?
I genuinely don't know what you're saying, but I do have something. I mean, I put it on yesterday, didn't I? It's 14 muscular injuries we've had this season, or 14 separate players. They've had them, which is insane. A lot of them being hamstring injuries, a lot of them being older players. Does make you wonder, doesn't it? But I mean, looking at our injury list at the minute, you've obviously got Josh Vickers, who's out indefinitely. We don't know how long he'll be out for. Fozzie's out for the season. Nyambi's out for the season. Bird's out for a couple of weeks. Fauna's vanished off the face of the earth. Mendes Lang will be out for a minimum of 3 weeks. Gale will be out for a minimum of 3 weeks. Barquez will be out for a minimum of 3 weeks. And Collins, I mean, they said he'd returning as Blackpool. I'd be very surprised. I think it's more going to be probably after Pompey that he'll make a full return. So it's a lot of players out, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. No, it is. And it's at that time where we want them back. And I think that was the thing we were all looking forward to, wasn't it? That players were actually returning rather than players now getting injured. Obviously, Vic, a word for Craig Forsyth. We obviously saw the very best of him against Bolton. We've now heard that he's going to be out for the season. It very well might be his last game in a Derby shirt. We don't know. A word for Craig Forsyth and just how he's been able to again step up this season.
What a servant for the club. If it was ever a Mr. Derby County or a Mr. Reliable, it is Craig Forsyth. He's been under that many different managers and they've always picked him, and there's got to be a reason why. I mean, this season he's been stellar. He's been like a Rolls Royce. Any time you put him into that sort of back three, if he's played there, even against Bolton, he just commanded his defensive area. He was just brilliant. He didn't put a foot wrong. I mean, it's a shame if it is that he's out for the season and that will be his last game for us. Again, you never know. Depending on how the season goes, it could be a match-winning performance from him. And yeah, I mean, Craig Forsyth has been a great servant to the club. When he first signed, I think he was signed as a left winger by Nigel Clough. And now look at him, he's transitioned to a left back and even a centre back at times, and never put a foot wrong. So he's just been brilliant. I think he's been a brilliant servant to us.
Jake's got his hand up.
Yeah, so something Warren said at the fans forum, he said that at halftime of the Bolton game, Curtis Nelson went over to a player who was being treated by a physio. And he said, don't do an evaluation on him. He's playing the second half. And I have a feeling that was probably Craig Forsyth. If that is the case, Forsyth played through injury for 45 minutes in one of the biggest games of the season, even though he wasn't meant to play, which I think is unbelievable. And like Vic said, he's very reliable. He gives us all for the club. And yeah, I think that's probably not far off Curtis Davis signing that waiver when we were going to go down. So yeah, love Craig Forsyth. And hopefully that's not the last time we see him.
Build the statue. That's what I say. We said it last week. We'll say it again. Build the statue. Right. We've lasted 30 minutes before talking about Sonny Bradley. I was half expecting Adam to jump in at some point and just be like, let me talk about it. Cal, I mean, talking about Craig Forsyth, it's very likely that Sonny Bradley knew when he did what he did that Craig Forsyth was going to be out for the season.
Yep.
He goes, I mean, I've not seen it back. I don't know if there's any video footage of it that's surfaced yet. There might be. But it's 90 plus 10. It's practically the last kick of the game. And he's obviously gone. And even if he hasn't headbutted the opposition player, he's given the referee the easiest opportunity to give him a red card. He's now banned for 3 games. It forces our hand potentially to change formation, which is a challenge in itself. But he's also cost his team. I think that because I think if we go and lose against Blackpool, the eyes are going to be on Sonny Bradley, in my personal opinion, because I think he has caused Warne to change tactics. I do believe he's a good player. He probably would have played and he would have benefited that game. What's your thoughts on it? What's I'm trying to find the words myself to explain how stupid it was.
I don't think you can, because it was just an absolute head loss moment from probably the player on the pitch you'd least expect it from. Yes, when you look at him, you might think about it. Yeah, you think when you look at him, you go, yeah, he's probably the one who'd do it. But I mean, no, in terms of his experience, he's a captain. He's done it. He's got the T-shirt. He's got promotions. What are you doing at Northampton away when we're losing 1-0, headbutting someone? It summed it up when no player from our team or him even contested it, that he just walked off. He just walked straight off down the tunnel. Warne didn't even look at him. And you are right. I think he's cost his team. And I think that when you look at the centre-halves that we've got available, you've got Nelson and Cashin, and that is it now. And if anything happens to him, and touch wood, it doesn't, it's now put Warne in a really tough position that basically means those two need to last to the end of the season, realistically. And they've played every single minute of every single game, I think. So they're already a testament to themselves already. It just means that, and also Warne has to now change his entire philosophy that's won the last three games, just to obviously fit square pegs in round holes, as we always say, just to get a team out there, because of obviously the injuries we've got. And you are right, he probably did know about the injuries before he did it. I just think he didn't even think about it in the moment. He's just thought about that one player that's probably got in his ear and lamped him one. So he's only cost us as a club a game, and potentially put us in a really, really tough spot for the next three games.
Jake, this is someone that said, I haven't come here to play League One football. I'm not a League One footballer. He's taken his time to get his opportunity in the team. He's been rewarded a place back in, because we could have gone with a four against Northampton yesterday. We could have done. What does that show you about Sonny Bradley?
I'll tell you what, we're usually very positive on here, aren't we? We usually, you know, we won't write players off. Even when players have a bad start or do something bad, or they're in a poor run of form, we try and back them, because you can always see something. You know what I mean? There's Joe Ward. Even when we were saying, you know, he's not in good form, there's always something there. He's got that delivery. You know, he's got something about him that gives him a chance in this team. I don't see that with Sonny Bradley. I think he's possibly one of the most disappointing signings I can ever remember at Derby. I think he gets too wound up. I think his temperament is awful. And I think what he did yesterday was pathetic and embarrassing. I mean, the first sign, obviously that first game, he made that mistake, didn't he? But the one that sticks out for me is Crewe away in the cup. And I remember about 10 minutes in, he gets in a wrestling match with their striker. And he is rattled, absolutely rattled. And he ends up giving two goals away, pretty much. You know, bouncing ball, misses the ball completely. He's too busy trying to fight the player. We see it at every set piece. He's grabbing people. He's throwing people. He's pushing people. When that ball came into that middle, did you notice that when Sonny Bradley jumped up and was too busy trying to fight someone to the death in the box, Curtis Nelson was fighting through players to get that ball back on the wing to try and win the game? That is the centre-back signing that has made the big difference for us. And that is the sort of player that we need in this team. And Bradley isn't, because it's shameful. It is shameful. I mean, you've said it already, haven't you? He's let his team down. If we get to a point where we've won four games in a row, we're now going to play the next three games. Blackpool, good side. Pompey, top of the league. And then, I can't remember who we've got after that, but it's someone decent as well. Wickham away. You know, three absolutely massive games, and all because of what appears to be his own ego, his own frustration. He's lashed out at someone, whether he's hit them, he's headbutt them, whatever he's done, he's let his team down, and it could be the reason why we don't go up. Now, I know he's had some good games, and he has had some very good games in a Derby shirt, but he's had a fair share of bad ones, and everything I've heard from anyone connected to the club is that he's not a great bloke. and I've not heard any good things about him on a personal level. And I think he showed that yesterday. So, yeah, again, we don't do character assassinations here, but it's really frustrating, isn't it? I mean, look at the reaction of the players when he got sent off. Not one player goes to him and speaks to him, like you say. You've got to have done something pretty bad, and you've got to have lost the respect of your teammates to get that, because, you know, I remember James Collins punching the floor, punched a keeper in the face for some reason. All his teammates went over to him and went, keep your head up, it's fine. With Bradley, nothing. So yep. I think that says everything we need to see.
Vic, obviously emotions are raw. We're speaking, what, 24, 26, 27 hours after. How does Sonny Bradley win back the faith of the fans, potentially his teammates and his manager?
He's got to score every goal to get us up now, isn't he? I don't think that, to be honest, I think I agree with Jake. I just don't think there's any way back for him now. I think you knew that there's six games left. We're already a threadbare squad in terms of injuries, and you go and do that in the 100th minute of a game. Like, I can understand if it's a 50-50 and the ball's coming and you elbowed some backs or whatever. There was nothing in it that you didn't need to do it. It was a stupid thing to do. It was reckless, and potentially you could cost us that top second spot in terms of just because we haven't got the personnel to cover for you now. It's for someone that's meant to be a captain of a team that's now playing in the Premier League, you don't expect that. He says he's not a League One player. Are you sure? Have you seen his performances this season? I mean, the last few games, granted, he has been pretty good. But before that, I didn't see anything that impressed me. And yesterday was the icing on the cake for him. I think if we can sell him in the summer, let's do it. But there's no way back for him now. I think he's made his mistakes. He's made his bed. He's got to lie in it now. And unfortunately for us, we've just got to keep prodding along to see if we can really clinch that second spot. Because the last thing we want to do is sort of fall into that playoffs and with all the momentum behind us that we've got at the minute.
Yeah, and Warne, I heard an interview by Warne earlier in the week where he was talking about senior players being around him, and there's such togetherness in the room when he's giving these talks and these presentations and these post-match analysis sessions, I guess. And something like that, you look at it and you think that has the ability just to completely rock all harmony within that room, in my opinion. And I think as fuming as we are, I'm sure Paul Warne and his staff were even worse. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Sonny Bradley. But yeah, we can all breathe now. We've all got it out, which is good.
You finally won Adam over. Yeah. You finally won Adam over.
Yeah, and now Adam's like, I was always right about him. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Right, let's look forward to Good Friday then. Blackpool coming to Pride Park. They don't tend to travel well. Callum, what's your score prediction? What's your thoughts of the game?
Good Friday at home. I am going to go, I think it will be cagey again. I think with the squad that we've got, it's going to be tough. I'm still going to go 1-0, but it's not going to be a pretty 1-0. 1-0 to Derby.
I mean, it's never pretty, is it, to be honest?
No, that's very true. Very true, yeah. If you've been fortunate enough to go and watch us this season, it's been it's not easy on the eye.
Jake, what's your thoughts?
You know what? I mean, we talk about the Northampton result. I mean, you said, Jamie, it's the end of our momentum. It's a turning point in the season. I think it's a bit dramatic. I think we've won four in a row before that. I think every single game, you've got to take it as it comes. And I think Derby will be well up for it. As you say, Blackpool don't travel well. I think Corey Blackett-Taylor will start, and I think Corey Blackett-Taylor will score. I think he looked really, really bright off the bench. I was impressed with him. So, yeah, I think Derby, again, I think it'll be another 1-0. But I think it'll be all right. I think it'll be okay, and it'll get us back on track and give us a little bit of confidence ahead of Pompey. And hopefully some of the players that are sort of coming into the team due to injuries to other players can make an impact as well.
And Vic?
I'm going to go for a 2-1 Derby win. I think we'll bounce back. I think we've got that tendency to sort of bounce back after a defeat or a disappointing performance. And we've been talking about this underdog mentality. I think we're right in the thick of that underdog sort of mentality now. Everything's against us. We've got all the injuries now. Sonny Bradley's been suspended. Maybe Paul can work his magic, give us that underdog mentality. We come back out fighting. So I'll go for a 2-1 win. And I'm going to, I can't even think who's going to score. I don't even know he's going to be fit to play. we'll go for Corey Smith. He'll score a goal like he did at Blackpool away. And then we'll go for a Nelson winner.
Yeah, Paul Warne loves being the underdog so much, he told Sonny Bradley to get sent off, I reckon.
make it harder.
Make it harder for us. Make it harder for us. I think it's going to be a one-all draw. I'm going to start hoping to tempt fate. I want us to win, but I'm going to go with a one-all draw. And I agree with Jake. I think Corey Blackett-Taylor is going to get his first goal in a Derby shirt. I think there's going to be, for the bad stories that there were last week, I think we're going to see some good stories on Good Friday. And hopefully Corey Blackett-Taylor scores his first goal in a Derby shirt. Last week, Jake made me do a rallying cry for the next seven games. Oh. So I'm going to put it on Jake. Don't, hey, Callum and Vic, it's definitely going to be on you in weeks to come. And Adam, if you're listening. But it's Jake's turn this week. Jake, give us a rallying cry for the next six.
I don't think I need to give one. I think it's written itself. You know, we're what, maximum or minimum of 1 point ahead in second place. We've got three massive games coming up. Win. Just win. Get those points. Doesn't matter how. Don't care how. Don't headbutt anyone. Don't do that. That's really silly. Just win games, keep 11 on the pitch, and strap up your hamstrings before every game. Come on, Harvey, let's do it.
That is great life advice, not just football.
Yeah.
Don't headbutt anyone. Perfect. Well, yeah, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a good episode. I've enjoyed that. Even though we lost yesterday, it's been a good episode, as always. If you have enjoyed listening, if you've enjoyed viewing, go rate us 5-star on whatever you're listening or viewing on. We've got the Blackpool preview. I think Adam's doing that. Is that correct? Yeah. Yep. So that'll be out ahead of Friday. So go check that out. But it's just left for me to say goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed. Goodbye from me.
The Rams are still going up. Goodbye from me.
Don't headbutt anyone.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.